This is our interview with Yogi Berra. We did this interview in the late 90s. Of course, Yogi Berra, Hall of Fame legend, catcher for the New York Yankees, played from the 1940s to the 1960s, went and managed them, managed the Mets. And we did this interview when he had his book of Yogiisms out. Yogi was known for saying odd and strange things, so he put out a book of Yogiisms, and we talked to him about that. We also talked to him about, at the time, a great Yankee baseball team and his feud with George Steinbrenner. So let's go back about 20 years to the legendary Hall of Fame catcher of the New York Yankees, Yogi Berra.
We're scouring the Stan and Haney archives, and we've come up with over 20 years of broadcasting gold. Stan and Haney, the interviews, 1997 to 2019. Uncut and unedited. Hear music icons, Hollywood legends, sports Hall of Famers, politicians, and historical figures.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
Interviewed by Stan and Haney over the past 22 years. A new podcast every week. Get all the information and check out the latest archive podcast at 96krock.com and the K-Rock mobile app.
One of the greats of baseball, Yogi Berra's on the air. Hi, Yogi.
How are you?
Doing great.
All right.
Boy, you know, like I was telling just Haney just now, I feel like a 10-year-old kid meeting one of my idols.
Oh, you know, boy.
Suddenly all my skills as a broadcaster have gone out the door.
Yogi, let me ask you this. Has Stan had the same effect on you?
Oh. Do I have the same effect on you?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Finally, you and your family have put all your Yogiisms in a book.
Yeah, well, it was a family project. They did it all. They worked on it for about a year and a half on this thing because a lot of people were asking me, when you're coming out with a Yogi Berra, a Yogiism book, and we finally decided to do it, and the kids worked hard on it, my daughter-in-law's work on it, my wife worked on it, everybody pitched in.
I think you said it best when you were on the Today Show with Matt Lauer. If they asked you to just go ahead and write down everything you say, you couldn't do it.
I couldn't. No, I couldn't.
You don't remember.
They knew it all, you know. And, you know, a lot of people say, how did you say them today? I said, I don't even know I say them. I really don't.
They just pop out.
They just pop out.
When was it when somebody first came to you and said, Yogi, did you hear what you just said? I mean, that had to start when you were a boy.
Yeah, it started. You know when it first started? When they gave me a day in St. Louis. Bobby Brown wrote me a one-line speech. He said, what should I say, Bobby? He said, I want to thank everybody for making this night possible. So when it came up, for me to say it, I want to thank everybody for making this night necessary. And then I didn't even know I said it. Bobby come back, did you know what you said? I said, no, what you told me to say, I said.
you were saying before when I was watching the interview, you were saying you could be sitting at the dinner table with your family and one will just pop out.
It will. They said, Dad, you said another one. I don't even know I say them, you know.
How rough was it in the Yankee clubhouse in those days when you would be would all the boys start needling you? Would they tell you even like before a World Series game, Yogi, you just said another?
No, they didn't tease me. You know, like a lot of them got like Casey told me, you got to think and hit it. You got to think and hit. I said, no, you can't think and hit at the same time. I still feel that way. You can't.
and you know.
And see, Phil Jackson's on this Zen kick. Yogi had it a long time ago.
And what a guy to learn from, because everyone knows in the books that we've read, you were Casey Stengel's favorite.
Well, that I don't know.
Yeah, you were, man. I mean, if anybody could depend on somebody in the World Series, it was you. And, of course, Casey had his own language himself. You couldn't understand what he was saying half the time.
If he wants you to understand, he'll make you understand. If he didn't want to, he'll double talk you all the way around, you know, boy. He was pretty good at that.
I have to also ask you, Matt Lauer had asked you on the Today Show. He said, I wanted to have a game of catch with you. And you said, completely honestly, you don't have a catcher's mitt.
I don't. I didn't have one. The only one I got is the no-hitter when Don Larson pitched.
And you got that bronze.
And I got it bronze. And that's it. That's the only catcher's mitt. I wish I would have saved them all now.
They'd be worth a fortune, Yogi.
I know that. Bats, too.
No kidding.
No, that Pete, our clubhouse man, she used to tell me, you want to take your uniform home, one of the uniforms home, after this year. I said, what am I going to do with a uniform? I wish you had them.
Yeah. You see, they're getting thousands and thousands of dollars for these things. I got to ask you about Don Larson's game. 1956 World Series. Sure. You've said it yourself. Greatest game you were ever a part of.
Oh, it was. The man only went behind on one hitter. That was Pee Wee Reese in the first inning. 2-1-3 ball. 297 pitches. So that's not bad.
Settle the rumor for us, though. I've read books where it said that Larson was out partying the night before.
He might have. I don't know. I wasn't with him. But whatever he did that night, he should have done it all his life.
Because that was his really true one moment of fame.
Oh yeah, good stuff. Anything you put down, he got it over.
You
put it in spots. Good.
You as a catcher had to know that probably within the first three innings of that game
He
had it.
You know, if you catch enough of them, you know, like just like the catchers today, you know, if you pay attention to your pitcher, you know what pitches he's got that's working and everything. You know.
Tell me, and tell me if this is true, because I've heard this ever since I was a boy going to Yankee Stadium, and my father and everybody else that he would take me to the game said nobody frustrated a hitter more than Yogi Berra did, because the batter would come up to the plate and you'd start having a conversation with him.
Oh, I did. I did talk to him. I threw dirt in his shoe and everything. But I did it for the fun. I never threw when the ball was on the way down. I just talked Ted Williams. I used to have fun. I used to tell him, where are you going fishing, Ted, this year? He'd tell me, shut up, you little dago.
But
Ted didn't want anybody to talk to him when he was in.
Greg doesn't want anybody to talk to him now.
Well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore the rest of the year. I won't talk to you.
And you didn't?
Oh, I did anyhow. Don't worry about that.
Is he truly the greatest hitter you saw?
Yeah, he was the best hitter in DiMaggio, I think, the best player I ever saw. I played 5 years with Joe. Never made a mistake.
Because you were around with the Yankee organization right at that time when DiMaggio was there and then left, and then Mickey came in.
Yeah, Mickey came in. We got, well, Phil Rizzuto was around there.
Sure, Billy
Tony
Martin.
Keller I played with. Tommy Hendrick I played with.
Truly the greats. Nobody's played in more World Series than you, Yogi. You know that. I got to ask you a tough question, and I hopefully you can give me an honest answer about it. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine.
I know what you're going to say.
I know. Ahead. Are we going to see you in Yankee Stadium
again?
I
don't know yet. I haven't made up my mind yet.
I mean, that is, you know, I believe Joe DiMaggio went through a time where he said he wasn't going to come to Yankee Stadium because of what was said. And everyone has read the stories about Steinbrenner, his remarks while you were a manager. And, you know, it breaks every Yankee's heart to not have Yogi at Yankee Stadium.
Well, I get pros and cons on that. You know, some people say, oh, we miss you there. You know, I wish you'd come back. And then I get half. They say, I'm glad you don't go back. You know, you kept your word and all that. You know, you get pros and cons on that.
But you're at heart.
I'm a Yankee fan.
You're a Yankee fan.
Heck yeah, I root for them right now.
But what a lineup we got this year.
Oh yeah, they should win that. They should win their division.
They're calling them the Bombers of '98. I mean, the Murderers Row.
They're going to score runs, I'll tell you. I don't think they need that much pitching. You know, they all complain about the pitching. I think they're going to outscore the opponents. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They've got some good hitters there now.
One more question I want to ask you, Yogi, because I know I don't want to keep you too long because you've had a very busy day. I read the book about the Yankees. It was called Dog Days, where they were describing from the Yankees' big days with you in the 40s and 50s, and then the nightmare years when I was a little kid in the 60s when it was tough to win. And they went, and there was a chapter when you were finally named manager of the New York Yankees in 1964.
Yeah.
You took the Yankees to the pennant that year.
Yeah.
But they said that the first few months, because you had just retired as a player, that it was tough to convince the players that, hey, I'm not Yogi, the player, the fun-loving guy anymore. I'm the manager of this club.
Yeah.
How tough was that?
No, I wasn't. I knew more. I did. You know, we got to play like the last month. I think they had me fired before the season was over. Because the last month, if you know, we won quite a few games in the last month to win the pennant. And it just happened. I think they already made arrangements with Keane. Don't forget, Keane left the world champion.
That's right. Well,
to come over and manage.
Very odd.
He had, He had it all set up already.
Very odd that you would go to the World Series against a team where the manager you were opposing was already going to become a Yankee.
That's right. I didn't know anything about it, but that's what happened.
Did that hurt?
Well, a little bit. It did, sure. You know, I thought I did a good job, but that happened. That's in baseball. I don't mind that. It didn't, because I still love baseball. If I had to do it again, over again, I'd do it again, you know, play baseball. And I love baseball. I watch games now. I could watch four games a night.
You got one of them satellite dishes?
No, we could get four. I get the Yankees. I get
right,
the Mets.
Right.
I get the ESPN. I get Atlanta. I could watch any. If I'm bored with one game, I turn on the other one. That's all.
Do you have the itch to manage again?
Huh? No, I think I'm finished. I want to be a golfer.
How's the golf game?
Oh, it's coming along. For me, anyhow. I enjoy it. I thought I relax. You get to see the grandkids. A lot. I got nine of them, so it's pretty good.
Yogi, as one Yankee fan to a Yankee great, I would hope to see the day that you can come back to Yankee Stadium.
Well, it may happen today. I may fool you. You never know. Listen, if anybody's interested in an autographed copy of the book,
yeah,
well, they call 1-800-454-YOGI.
Beautiful. And get an autographed copy. We also have copies of the book here today that we'll be giving out throughout the day, Yogi.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're scouring the Stan and Haney archives, and we've come up with over 20 years of broadcasting gold. Stan and Haney, the interviews, 1997 to 2019. Uncut and unedited. Hear music icons, Hollywood legends, sports hall of famers, politicians, and historical figures.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
All interviewed by Stan and Haney over the past 22 years. A new podcast every week. Get all the information and check out the latest archive podcast at 96krock.com and the K-Rock mobile app.